What are we supposed to do? What should we do?
Well, let's give some talk.
Give some talk.
Krishna Katta.
Alright. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Yanangana Shalakaya Chaksuru Militanyena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yenavusha Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dharati Swaparantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Parakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamsa Shri Rupam Sajajatam Sahagana Shri Raghunatham Vitam Tham Sajivam Sadetam Savaritam Parijana Shri Krishna Chaitanam Shri Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitam Vanchakalpa Tirvishcha Kripa Sindhu Devacha Patitanam Bhavaneviyo Vaishnaviyo. Here we are in Awari. Pretty good group here. They all live here. So, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, they came. Vande Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Nityananda Sahodito, Gododaya Pushpavanto, Chitro Sando, Tumonigo. They came like the sun and the moon rising at the same time on the eastern horizon of Gododesh in India and Bengal, to dissipate the darkness of Kali Yuga. All the problems that everybody describes is this Kali Yuga. The 12th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam lists, you know, the Kali Yuga, and it gives the information, like beauty will be judged by hair. So we have so many beauty shops all over the world where you pay big money to get your hair. Depending on what kind of hair you have, you'll get it straight, or you'll get it curled, or you'll get it made blonde or made black. Change. But then you'll think you're beautiful because of the hair. It says that life is short. People are thinking they're living longer than maybe recent history, but people used to live, like in the Bible, they have Methuselah and those people, 900 years, 800 years. The previous age in Dwarka Yuga, people lived up to 1,000 years. And the government will be expert at taxing the people. And it'll just be rogues and rascals. The Brahmana will be known simply by his thread. The Brahmachari won't follow any regulated principles. The sannyasi will have big bank accounts. So many things are predicted. Many, many other things also in different places, in other scriptures, more details. And anyone can see that this is Kali Yuga. So there's all this quarreling because people are envious and degraded and they're forgetting God. They're covered by the dense darkness of Kali Yuga. So Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda came, and also Srimad Bhagavatam came first. The sages, they were worried. They asked, now that Krishna is gone, after Krishna left the planet, who will protect religious principles, and how will people get any transcendental knowledge? So they said that the Srimad Bhagavatam has appeared, just after the departure of Lord Krishna. Puranarko Sahodita. It is a Purana that is just like the sun and would dissipate the give light for those who have lost their vision in the dense darkness of the Kali Yuga. So in Kali Yuga, people cannot see. They think they're their body. They identify with, you know, their country or their tribe or their species or their relation, their religion, and they make constitutions like America. There'll be no discrimination for caste, creed, or color. But in real life, people are bodily conscious, and they gather together in groups according to, you know. I saw that in South Africa, they used to have enforced separation of the races, but now the students, they never experienced that. But when we went by the university, there's a group of Indian students, there's a group of African students, a group of white students. Basically, they group together like that, just automatically. Bodily conscious. But we're not these bodies. That's what we're trying to teach people. Then we have to teach what they are. They're actually living entities, their spirit souls, eternal, blissful, and knowledgeable. People come with so many problems. What are those problems? There's something wrong with their body, right? The body is sick, body is ugly, body is, the girlfriend doesn't like their body, the body can't have sex, so many different things. And are the mind. In Benin, right down the street, we have the psychiatric hospital. A big place. Psychiatric nursing center. And in this particular millennium, they call it, they predicted that the major disease that's going to really be the biggest problem in the world is not heart attacks or cancer or AIDS, but mental disease. People are so disturbed. I don't know here, but in the Europe and America, I meet in England especially, many of the devotees, they work in the pharmaceutical business in big positions. And I always ask them, what's the biggest selling medicine? Of course, the names change regularly because they produce new ones, but they're all these psychological medicines, antidepressants. So people are depressed. They feel that there's no use of me living. What's the use of me? I can't get what I want. Nobody loves me. Right? But meaning my body. I can't get the sense gratification I want. People don't admire my body. They don't worship me. The girls aren't begging me for their, you know, pleasure. People get depressed because the advertising everywhere is telling you this is what you need. So we want to help people, and the only help really, you can give some medicine where they can forget for a few minutes and think everything's all right, just like get intoxicated, right? You get drunk and then everything's fine, no problem, right? While you're drunk, for a little while. But we want to change people's consciousness, we want to educate them. That what are you? That not only you're not that body, but what are you? You're the Satchit Ananda, the soul. He's full of knowledge. He's eternal. He has no beginning and no end. Krishna says, for the soul there's neither birth nor death. None of these things. Can't be hurt, can't be burned, can't be frozen, can't be cut, the soul. So if people are understanding that I'm the soul, they don't worry about the condition of the body so much. Say like your Bhakti Tirtha Swami, now his body is deteriorating, he's witnessing it. Whenever I talk to him, he says, oh, there's so many things in the body are just shutting down. But he's happy. He's leaving the body because he knows he's going to Krishna. And he's still preaching. We had last year our Sridhar Swami. He also got some cancer. He'd been sick for a long time. And then when the doctors told him, of course, you can only live a few days, he said, I want to go to Mayapur. They said he won't live the flight. But he came and he managed to Krishna arrange that he could, you know, participate in the biggest Mayapur festival we ever had. And help install the deities and associate with the devotees. And he was also very happy. He knew he was leaving. Just like if, you know, we're going to Port Harcourt, we might be happy. Okay, we're going to have a nice trip. going to go somewhere. So the devotee knows he's going to Krishna. Even I heard one Christian, he said, what do I care if I'm getting old or not? I know I'm going to heaven. I don't care, you know, what's the problem if you're changing bodies. The body's always changing and it's always some kind of misery. So we need to help people. They come with problems. The problem is their body. But you can, by helping the body alone, of course, if there is some disease and we can help to counteract it, we do that. If they're hungry, we want to feed them, prasadam. But they have to get spiritual knowledge. That's the only thing that will ultimately help anybody. Why are we suffering? Who knows? We're suffering because someone else is making trouble with me? For me? Because he's talking bad about me? Even if that's true, why are they doing it? See? Why is it happening? What would we say, karma, right? The wages of sin. I just saw this sloka in the TV station. The wages of sin is death. That's karma. If you're sinful, you die. You think you die and you have to take birth again. They don't mention that. They think you die and it's all over. But actually you have to take a lowly, miserable birth. Because everyone is simply getting what they deserve, what they want, what they've asked for. We're getting the reactions to our previous activities. So we want to teach people to do good activities. And what's the best activity?
Krishna,
Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We saw another Bible sloka there, predicting Lord Chaitanya. It said God himself will descend from the heaven with a shout. Lord Chaitanya was always saying, Hari Bol, very loud, and all his devotees also, they were chanting. Hare Krishna. Telling everybody, whoever they meet, chant Hare Krishna. This will change everything. It will, you know, purify the previous sinful reactions or remove them, but also create good reactions in the future, good reactions of, you know, people becoming conscientious how they live in this world. Because people are greedy and lusty and angry, where do those things lead? Who's read the Bhagavad Gita? Three gates, right? Where do they lead to? Kama, Krodha, Lobha. Where does it lead to? Huh? Where?
Hell.
But who wants to go to hell? Huh? So if you want to be greedy, or lusty, or angry, you'll go to hell because that's the gate. That's how you get there. You open the door to hell. But people are promoting, oh, you should be angry. It's an enemy to kill him. You should want more things. You need them. You know, you should go shopping and you'll see your country now, foreign investment is coming in and they're going to build more and more. You won't believe the shopping centers that they build where they have everything in one place. Some of them in some countries, they're so big, you can't see from one side to the other inside the place, and they have everything imaginable, and the people that go in there just get crazy, and they always have a sale on something, and this way they agitate everybody's mind to buy all kinds of things they don't need, think they need, to get more television, it's all advertising, bewildering people. So we need to protect ourselves. How does one protect themselves? There's no material protection. If death is coming, it doesn't matter what kind of a security wall you have on your house, or what kind of, you know, guard system, or what kind of weaponry you have, or how much money you have, right? When the Yamadutas come, I've never heard that some rich man said, just, you know, here, take this money and leave me, right? They don't care for money. No, nobody can say, only for those that are cases like a Jamil. There's another case of one very sinful man. He was very, very sinful. And he died. And there was a very pious Brahmana who every day went to the Ganga to take bath and bring back water to his house. So he walked by and he saw this man had just died, so he threw Ganga water on him. So the Yamadutas came. But when they tried to take him, the Vishnudutas came. And there was a huge fight. And the Vishnudutas, because the Yamadutas weren't going to surrender, they said, this guy is sinful, to get him. So they had a big fight. And the Yamadutas got all smashed and cut and bruised, and they finally left. And they passed that Brahmin. He said, what happened? He said, it's all your fault, it's all your fault. You threw Ganga water on that sinful man. So therefore the Vishnudutas came. These things do happen. But we should not think, well, I can just be sinful all my life and then, you know, Krishna will take care of me. It's very rare. And it's due, actually, to previous good activities also. There's another story about Gopi Chandan. Tilak. The Gopi Chandan is a special one we get from Dwarka. Right? The very nice stuff. We have to bring a few tons of that over. But so it's glorifying so much. Not just putting a tilak mark is so much auspicious and so many things. But even the mud itself, and then if you don't have that, you can use mud that grows under tulsi or mud from different places. So there was one king who was completely sinful. He was hunting and killing so many animals. He killed a cow, he killed a pregnant women, he did everything sinful. And he'd never done anything pious, not one thing. So one of his ministers killed him in the forest when they were out hunting. So the Yamadutas took him. And Yamaraj asked, you know, so that Chitragupta, the secretary of Yamaraj, he was telling him, there's so many sinful activities, and he's never done any, not even one pious activity in his life. He said, okay, he has to go to 8,400,000 different hells. So the first thing they took him to Kumbhipaka. Kumbhipaka hell is the hot oil, like you cook, you know, fry things in. So they threw him in the hot boiling oil. But the oil became cool. Same thing happened with Prahlad when they threw Prahlad in the hot oil. It became cool. So they came back to Yamaraj and they couldn't understand, how can this be that the man never did anything pious in his life. So Narada Muni came and he explained that when he fell down off his horse dead, somebody had dropped some Gopi Chandan there on the ground and he fell on top of that. So because of touching that, then he was... So Yamaraj said, oh, and then his wife went there for him. So we have this opportunity to put on tilak every day and all these things if we take advantage of this intelligence. Because we should never think, well, I've made it, I've done enough, you know, I chanted already. A devotee always thinks, you know, I haven't done anything. And even if I did it, I didn't do it very nicely. And even if I did it nicely, I did it with a bad mentality. And he's always trying to do better. And that way, of course, you'll go back to Godhead. As soon as we think, well, I'm fine, I've done everything nicely, and I've made it, I'm the president, or I'm the guru, I'm the GBC, I'm the sannyasi, I'm whatever I am, and then we fall down. Because we haven't made it. The only thing we made it is when we can't stop chanting, and we have a real taste for the holy name. When we, you know, don't want to do anything except serve Krishna. So Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda came. They went extensively all over India. Lord Nityananda concentrated on Bengal. And they just went everywhere and chanted Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. And they asked everyone, you chant, please chant. We don't ask for any other donation. Just chant the whole thing. And some people did. Gradually everybody did. Lord Chaitanya went all over South India, toured for years actually, visited so many temples of Nrisimhadeva, all different deities and demigods also. And everywhere he went, he would be dancing and singing in ecstasy, and everybody would be amazed. He was so beautiful and so big and so ecstatic. And then other people that saw him, they would start dancing and chanting in ecstasy. They would go home to their village still chanting and dancing. Other people would start imitating them. And this way, he spread the Sankirtan movement all over the world, all over India. The prediction was Prithivateyateyata Nagaradigram Pracharavai Avoy Varnam, that in every town and village the holy name would be spread. There's some Hindu idea that a sannyasi should not cross the ocean. So when, I don't know how the radio person knew this, but in a very early radio interview with Srila Prabhupada, they said, well, the Hindu sannyasi is not supposed to cross the ocean. And what about that? Prabhupada said, Lord Chaitanya said, every town and village, he knew I was coming. There's different speculations why they said that. Of course, like even Prabhupada's godbrothers, they just thought, you know, except for India, nobody's going to ever, you know, they're just savages. So they tried to go to Europe, they didn't have any success, maybe they made one devotee. But Prabhupada had faith in this Kirata, Unandra, Pulinda, Pukasha, Yavana, Kishadaya, Yeyanye, Chapapa, Yadapa, Shaya, Shaya, Shujanti, Tasmai, Prabhavishnave, Namaha. So this is a list of Kirata, Unandra, Pulinda, Pukasha. These are so-called low-class, uncivilized human beings. And then the Americans are the last one, Yenye Chapapa, those who have taken shelter of all sinful activity. They're not any particular low-class group, like the Hunanga, the Hun. I don't know what history you have, Attila the Hun, you heard of him? It was in Europe, I think. Attila the Hun, he was a savage. They just went with big mobs of army and they burned the villages, raped all the girls, stole everything. The Hun, low class. The Andhra in India, and Andhra for some reason is considered low class. I don't know why, because of many temples there, including Tirupati. But some tribes there, somebody thinks they're low class. Because everybody thinks somebody else is low class. And then there was like the Kshatriya, the Chinese, that it was like Genghis Khan, another thing like Attila. Just raping and looting and burning, you know, with big gangs, low class, uncivilized people. Yavana, the meat eaters, they don't have any regulated principles, and all these different ones. But Yeyanye Chapapa, and even those who've taken shelter of all sinful activities, but Shudyanti Tasmai Pabha Vishnavena, that they become purified by the name of Vishnu, by chanting the name of God. So even one priest in one of the big temples in South India, they have that sloka written somewhere near their altar. And he said that your Srila Prabhupada, he had faith in that. He believed the Srimad Bhagavatam. Even some of Prabhupada's godbrothers said that Lord Chaitanya said every town and village, but we didn't believe that. You know, every town and village in India, maybe. But not anywhere else. But Prabhupada, he had it. And it even says in Chaitanya Charitamrita, this was spread throughout the whole universe. And Prabhupada, that was written in 1975 when that came out. Prabhupada said, you may wonder how this can spread all over the universe. But he said, just like people are wondering now how it spread all over the world in only 10 years. Even by that time, in not even 10 years, but 10 years since Prabhupada went to America, maybe 8.5 years of real preaching, where the movement had popped up temples all over the world, in almost every country, and now much more. Now I think we have more temples in Russia than in the whole rest of the world, big and small, and more devotees, And that's all within, you know, since 1987. So in the same way, it can spread all over the universe. Demigods come here to join the movement. Some devotees may die and go to heaven and spread the movement. We don't know if somebody will get the space shuttle and go. We don't expect that. But there are many other ways to go to other planets. The demigods can actually see what we're doing. We can't see them. But they just like you can get an ant farm or something. They have those things for the children. You see? They two pieces of glass and you put and then they put the ants so you can see how they're living. You know, they build their queen's place and their storage place and all the different ants have their different, so that you can study the ant life. You know, the Aninochi, I saw one book in Japan for children. It showed all the ants are living. Very fascinating. So the demigods can watch us just like that. Little ants running around, you know, making our little anthills, and buildings and cities and roads, collecting food, storing food. So they're watching us. So they see also the Sankirtan movement, and they like it. They want to join, because in the higher planets, they have all sense gratification, but they don't have so much chance for this. They do worship Vishnu some, but usually they're distracted by the sense gratification. So they come and join. Prabhupada said the demigods are waiting in line to come and join the Sankirtan worship and this movement. So we are fortunate, we're in it, and we can raise our hands and chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We can read about Krishna's wonderful pastimes. He revealed in Vrindavan, he was thinking in how to attract people to want to come back to him. So he came to earth with all his associates and revealed these intimate pastimes and loving exchanges with the cows and the cowherd boys and the gopis and the monkeys and the birds and the forest and the demons also, intimate pastimes. Although in Goloka there's no demon. Sometimes they think there's a demon though, because it makes some variety in life, but there's really no demons. But when Krishna came to earth, even Krishna, there are demons. Even Krishna had so many enemies, so we should not be surprised if we get a few enemies or if a few people don't like us. It's not you they don't like, but they don't like Krishna. They're envious. They don't like to see that Krishna gets glorified. They want to be glorified. They want everyone to know about them and talk about them and live their way, the demons. They think that to gratify their senses to the end of life is the goal of life. And Krishna says that They know how the demons think? Siddhoham Balavan Sukhi. Right? I am perfect, powerful, and happy. Siddhoham Balavan Sukhi. The demon is thinking like that. I'm perfect, I'm powerful, I'm happy. I have my enemy, I'll kill him, I'll get his money. And I'll be more powerful, more happy. This is how demons are thinking. There's no God in control. Everything just happening by accident. So just take whatever you can get. That's what you're here for. It's a struggle for existence, right? So you take whatever you can get to help your existence. And the other people, if they can't struggle good enough, too bad for them. Right? They should work hard like you do. They should, you know, it's their own problem. Don't worry about anyone else. Of course, maybe your immediate family, because that helps gratify your senses. Some politicians worry about their country, because if they make the country nice, they can enjoy more also. Right? They have more prestige in the world. They get more fame, more money. So that, but it's not maybe 100% love for the people, because they're just giving them sense gratification. they promised, they used to be the joke in America, at least the old days, you know, the politicians promised, you know, there'd be two cars in every house, and two chickens in every pot or something, you know, everybody, because right after the war, I don't know what they, now they just keep promising they're going to reduce taxes and they're going to protect you from the terrorists, and they just insult the other candidates. And everybody knows it's just talk. So we want to elevate people, we want to solve their problems, we have to tell them what their problem really is. People are stupid, they don't know. I know one man, he was our friend, he actually was a new Prabhupada, Japanese, so he got some liver disease. And the doctor told him, you can't drink any whiskey. So for Japanese, that's a very serious order. He said, how can I live? Because I'm a salesman, I have to drink. The doctor said, your job is not to drink, your job is to sell things. So he said that, you know, he went out and everyone else was drunk, and he thought, this is so boring, you know, because they talk so stupid when they're drunk. When you're drunk, you think it's all very wonderful. They think it's all Shakespeare and, you know, everything you say is glorious. But if you're not drunk and you hear what they say, then you... But then he got more healthy and started drinking again. But people are... we need to help them. You're suffering because of your sinful activities. You know, you're probably doing all sinful activities now. You certainly have done in the past. So even if you stopped, you're still going to get reactions. They have to chant the holy name of the Lord and do good activities, and this will help you. This will change everything. Nothing else will help. There's no quick fix. You know, like paracetamol. Say goodbye to the pain, but then say hello when it wears off. Right? It doesn't cure the cause of the pain. And sometimes it causes more pain because I take a painkiller, then I can't feel the pain, so I hurt myself more. Right? The pain is a signal something's wrong. If I just cover it, sometimes not a good idea. Some people get hurt very bad because they can't feel pain. Like drunken people. Right? They fall down, break their nose, no problem. Everything's all right. I've seen. I'm all right. You know, blood pouring out. No problem. Leave me alone. We want to lift people up. We want to give them Krishna. We want to be straightforward. You are not that body. Find out who you really are. You should advertise. Find your genuine identity, who you really are. You're not that body. You're not young or old. You're not any tribe. You're not Nigerian. You know, you're a spirit soul. You're eternal, blissful, knowledgeable personality who can have a wonderful relationship with the most perfect person, Krishna. All you have to do is chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And if someone takes that chanting, there's a good chance then they'll give up the other sinful activities. We don't have to dwell on that so much for people, because it scares them. Oh, you can't eat meat, well. But let them chant, encourage them. Bring them to the temple or whatever and give them prasadam. You know, go there, go and chant. Let them hear it again and again. Give them some CDs or tapes and they'll get purified. Sometimes people quickly, very quickly, they start chanting and everything changes. Other people it takes longer. But we want everyone to chant. Everyone to have Bhagavad Gita, some book, all the books. In their house, so the book will help them, even they don't read it. It's Krishna. Nothing inauspicious can happen in a house where the Srimad Bhagavatam is kept. That kept nicely and honored, and honored means to read it, not put it on the floor, or very near the floor, but keep it very nicely, keep it clean, keep it covered. Then all auspiciousness, Danyam Swastayanam Mahat. Idam Bhagavatam Nama. This Bhagavatam is the name of it. Purana Brahma Samhitam. It is a Purana which is completely spiritual. Idam Bhagavatam Nama, Purana Brahma Samhitam, Uttama Shloka Charitam. It is full of beautiful slokas and words. Shikara Bhagavan Rishi. And it was compiled by the great sage Vyasadeva in his maturity, his final effort, when he understood everything perfectly, that the real need of everyone is to think about Krishna. And then Nishaya Saya Lokasya Danyam Swastaya Namaha. It is all auspicious for everyone, all beneficial and all good, and all auspicious for everyone. The holy name is that also, the Srimad Bhagavatam. Anything to do with Krishna. And devotees. So serve the devotees, all devotees, and think, what can we do to give the holy name to all these people who are suffering, who have forgotten Krishna, and they're in the dark. How can we turn on the lights for them, help them? Even now they get the light, they turn on the light, but they're still in the dark. They don't see anything. Right? They don't see Krishna. We have to give them real vision. And not easy by just chanting all the time, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. All right, thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Okay, now we want to chant a little bit.
Would it have approached in this room?